الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, last week was the 10th of Muharram, known as Ashura. Together with it being a blessed day, the day of Ashura also gave us many important lessons. One lesson that I would like to relate and thereafter use that lesson as a basis of the talk today. And that lesson is that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, came to realize that the Jews of Medina are fasting or commemorating the delivery of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from the tyranny of Fir'aun, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked and stated a very important principle. And that principle, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we are more closer to Musa alayhi salam than any other religious group. We as Muslims, we are more closer to Musa alayhi salam than any other religious group. And this what we Muslims believe firmly. We are more closer to Musa alayhi salam than the Jews are. We are more closer to Isa alayhi salam than what the Christians are and will ever be. The reason is we have become the heirs of the true teachings of those Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa alayhi salam never told his people that to regard him as the son of Allah. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told the people, Ya Bani Israel, U'budullaha Rabbi wa Rabbakum. O Bani Israel, worship Allah who is my Lord and who is your Lord. So in that way, we are more closer to Musa alayhi salam than what the Jews are. We are closer to Isa alayhi salam what the Christians are. Now, keeping that particular principle in mind, the 10th of Muharram is also used to discuss the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat have always said that the 10th of Muharram is not significant because of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's shahadat. As great and as tragic as an event that is, because the superiority of the 10th of Muharram was made mentioned by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam 50 years before Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu shahadat. But it is used by certain groups to sow certain types of comments and aqidah against the Sahaba. And that is why you find sometimes it is the perception created is that there are certain groups within the Muslim Ummah who are more closer to the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that very same group give the impression that Aliyadu Billah, the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were two different entities. Today what I want to say, keeping that principle in mind, the beginning stages, we are more closer as Muslims to Musa alayhi salam than Isa alayhi salam. On that basis, let me say that we, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, are more closer to the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam than any other group. Understand where I'm coming from. That we as Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we are more closer to the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam than any other group, despite what they may claim. Because we are echoing the sentiments and the teachings of the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to love the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has always been part of this ummah. It is not as if this group loves and the entire group don't love the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each and every one of us, when we read our Durood e Ibrahim, we send salutations upon the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every salat of ours. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Well, what is this? We are sending Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family in every salat of ours. And it is this very, this aspect that made Hazrat Imam Shafi rahimahullah give this remarkable, beautiful poem. He said, إِن كَانَ رِفْضًا حُبُّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ فَلْيَشْحَدِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ إِنِّي رَاضِي. If rifs, and rif means, if we'll take another word of rifs, means the Shia. If being a Shia means to love the family of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then let the entire creation know that I am the first Shia. But together with it, it's not only the love, but together with it, it is demeaning the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala and Ujma'in. And that is what we need to understand. We are more closer to the teachings of and more closer to the Ahlul Bayt than any other group. And when we talk about the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let us understand one important point. That the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were not only great because they were the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were also great because they were in the forefront of echoing the teachings of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, showing it to the people. And whenever there was a need for sacrifice in this ummah, the true family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were in the forefront of making that sacrifice. Why I'm saying the family, you see, they were not only great because of being the family, because if it was only being the family, Abu Lahab was also the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we curse Abu Lahab, each and every one of us curse him. But yet he was uncle of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Ahlul Bayt were not only great because of them being the family, they were great because they made sacrifices for the sake of the deen of their remarkable and great relative, our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we can give many examples with regard to this. In the Battle of Badr, when there was three people who came from the people of Makkah and said, Hal min Mubariz, who's going to fight with us? Who did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put forward? He didn't say put anyone. Like today you find in the world today, they put the ordinary laymen and the people who are the leaders, they stay behind. They don't take part in the actual battle. They are not part of it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put Hamza, his own uncle. He put Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, his cousin at that time. You go and fight. When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam abolished interest in the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida, what did he say? The first interest that I make maaf. The first interest that I will not take money from is the interest of that is due to my uncle Ali Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu. So whenever there was sacrifice, the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were in the first in terms of making that sacrifice. When Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu found it difficult with regard to her domestic task, and she saw and she heard that there were slaves that had been brought in Madina Munawwar after one expedition, she went to her father and said, you know, I'm finding it difficult to do my domestic task. You give me also one slave. You know? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and see her after that, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was busy at that time. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her, oh my daughter, those particular ones I have kept it for the Ashab al-Suffa. I have kept it for other people. With regard to your domestic task, oh my daughter, read 33 times Subhanallah, read 33 times Alhamdulillah, read 34 times every day Allahu Akbar. Prior to sleeping, it will help you fulfilling your domestic task. We can give many examples. In the Battle of the Trench, when one of the most famous warriors came across the trench, Umar, I think Abdullah bin Ibn Wud, his name was Ibn Wud. It is said that Ibn Wud was equivalent to 400 warriors at the time of Arabia. And when he came over there and he said, who's going to fight against me? And everyone, because of his fame as a warrior, they were rather reluctant or they took their time. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to go and fight with him. Then first Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Ali, you are still inexperienced. Ibn Wud was the most famous warrior in Arabia at that time. Oh Ali, where are you going to fight him? You are still young. And then when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this call three times, Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, let me go fight him in Kana Abd Wud, even if it's Abd Wud. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends his son-in-law. Today, will we do something like that? Marud Jamai, Hutai, Poirino Hutai. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his son-in-law first. Go and fight Ibn Hud. And there was such a fierce battle that both of them were covered in dust. The Sahaba said, we didn't know what was happening until we heard Ali radiallahu anhu said, I have killed the enemy of Allah. It is inconceivable that when the Nabi of Allah, always when he wanted sacrifice, the Sahaba and his family were the first to sacrifice. And his family, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have left and bequeathed for them a spiritual or political dynasty. that you must be the imam or you must be the leader of the Muslims. It's impossible given that particular background that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have left behind and bequeathed to them a spiritual or political dynasty. It's absolutely impossible. But that's a completely different task. What I'm coming to say is that the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they were always, because of that, they were respected. And one aspect that is sometimes brought forward is as if the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt are two separate entities. This is a complete fabrication. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has many a times made mention that the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ajma'in were one and they love one another. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Those who were with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were severe upon the disbelievers, but they were very, very loving and compassionate to one another. Look at another place in the Quran. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً. That you were enemies before Islam. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. But with Islam, Allah Ta'ala brought muhabbat amongst you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought muhabbat amongst you. Now let me give you some example. Many people do not realize. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, his nikah, when he went to propose to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, it was Abu Bakr and Umar who encouraged him to go and propose. They told him, "Oh Ali, we know that you have a desire to get married to Fatima. Why don't you go? We will." They encouraged him to go and ask Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he went, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'm waiting for wahi." And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to get married, to get my daughter married to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala." This particular marriage of Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima was divinely inspired, came from wahi, came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing, and that Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she got married to Hazrat Usman, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same thing, that Allah has sent wahi upon me to get my daughter Umm Kulthum married to Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. The children of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't just get married like that. They got married that was the direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after this, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "Go and get yourself ready with regard to it, that you need some sort of house, some sort of necessities. Go get that." So Ali radiallahu ta'ala only had one armor. So he went with that armor to Usman radiallahu ta'ala. He said, "I'm leaving this armor as a rehan, as a guarantee to you. Give me cash. To get married to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, I'll need some cash to get her married, to get myself married, to prepare my house for her." So at that particular time, Usman radiallahu ta'ala gave him the cash, kept the armor. And as Ali radiallahu ta'ala was going, Usman called him back and said, "Oh Ali, that cash is from my side. Take this armor. You also keep the armor also. I don't need the armor also." People again don't realize that when it came to buy the necessities for Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who went with Ammar ibn Yasir to go and buy the necessities for the Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. He went to go and buy whatever is needed. Look at this, another amazing thing. It was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha who prepared the house of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. And according to that time, it comes in Ibn Majah, that they said they bought sand from Wadi Batha, who was outside Medina and Munawara, to clean the room in which they were going to stay. Then they bought fresh kajur and raisins to put in the room. And then they put hooks. At that time it wasn't, so they put hooks to keep the clothing. And the actual words, which is in Mustadrak Hakim, فَمَا رَعِينَا أُرْسًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْ أُرْسِ فَاتِمَةً. At that time there was no wedding better than the wedding of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Prepared by who? Prepared by Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Salma radiallahu ta'ala. And this particular aspect, you know, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to say, مَا رَعَيْتُ ما رأيت أحدا كان أشبه كلاما وحديثا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من فاطمة. There is no one whose speech was more closer resembling Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم than Hazrat Fatima رضي الله عنها. Where we heard this from? From Hazrat Aisha رضي الله عنها. Where? What is the impression given? That Hazrat Aisha and the Ahlul Bayt were two separate entities. What I'm proving, they were one common entity. Not only this, there were many examples. The very famous incident. One day, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam whispered something in the ears of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, she started crying. After that, he whispered something else, she started laughing. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, "Oh Fatima, tell me what was this discussion? One time you were crying, one time you were laughing." She said, "No, I can't tell you. It is a secret between me and my father." After Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked her, "Oh Fatima, now that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed away, there is no more secret. Why don't you tell me what was that?" She said, "The first time Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and told me that, oh my daughter, This year, Ramadan, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and made two khatams for me, instead of one khatam, which gives me the impression that I'm not going to live for very long. So I started crying. And then she said, after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, you are going to be the first to meet with me, and are you not happy that you are Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, that Allah has made you the queen of all the women of Jannah? Therefore I started laughing. One day Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that Hazrat Fatima came, and she came on behalf of the other wives. Now keep in mind that the other wives also, they love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say they were clamoring for the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they sent Hazrat Fatima to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say that perhaps Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing greater attention to Hazrat Aisha, because it is well known that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved Aisha amongst more than any of his wives. So he said that, she came, Hazrat Fatima came, because Hazrat Fatima was very close. So they sent Hazrat Fatima that, Ya Rasulullah, show attention to the other wives also. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard what Hazrat Fatima said, and this is her words in Sahih Muslim, that, oh my daughter, alasti tuhibbina ma uhib. Oh my daughter, won't you love whom I love? So Hazrat Fatima said, yes, I will love whom you love. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my daughter, then love Hazrat Aisha because I love her. Go and love Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala because I love her. It is the same thing, aspect. That again, people come and bring all these type of things, and we, because we don't read, we don't know things, we get carried away, and we get carried away by propaganda. What people don't realize is that when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was on her deathbed, when she was sick, who is there who nursed Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala? It was Asma binti Umayyis, who was the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. It was the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Asma binti Umayyis, who nursed Hazrat Fatima during her last days. And it was Asma binti Umayyis who gave practical expression and manifestation to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala's wish. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala said, she has such great modesty. She used to say that the greatest good for a woman is that a strange man must not see a woman. So this aspect that we do in the janazah, that together with the kafan, you put a parda over the kafan, that is the sunnah of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. She is the one who initiated this. And who gave this to the ummah? Asma binti Umayyis, who was the wife of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. It is because of this modesty that in Tafsir Azizi, Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Muhaddith Delwi Rahimahullah makes mention that on the day of Qiyamah, when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is about to go into Jannah, an angel will call out, Ya Ahlil Jannah, O people of Jannah, O people of Hashar, Hazrat Fatima is about to cross the Pul Sirat, put your gazes down, she is crossing the Pul Sirat. Everyone will cast their gaze down so that Fatima must cross the Pul Sirat. So what I'm trying to prove here in this, my dear respected, is to show that they are one common entity. It is not that they were in two distinct camps the way it is made out. There are so many examples with regard to that. One day someone came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and asked the fatwa, and then said, what that she said, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said such a thing with regard to this fatwa. Hazrat Aisha said, Ama innahu la'alama an-nasa bis-sunnah. If it is Ali, Ali knows the sunnah more than anyone else. Ali knows the sunnah more than anyone else. When Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was on her deathbed, that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, again, the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cousin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to visit Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was in pain. So she said, tell Hazrat ibn Abbas that I'm in pain, he can come afterwards. So Ibn Abbas said, no, I want to say a few things. Because Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala at that time, due to her fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was, saying things, I'm worried how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to treat me. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to... This was because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had their own humility. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala sent a message and said, go and tell Aisha, I want to say to her one thing, and then I will leave. I can understand she's on a deathbed, she's in pain. But tell her I want to say one thing to her before I leave. So then they said, okay. Then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala gave Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala permission. And he said, O mother of the faithful, let me give you glad tidings that I heard from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Hazrat Aisha will be my wife in Jannah. So Aisha, don't worry. I've came to give you glad tidings. I've directly heard from the Nabi of Allah that Aisha will be my wife in Jannah. Now, does this give you an impression that they were enemies to one another? The way certain Muslim groups want us to say that the Ahlul Bayt and the Sahaba were enemies to one another? Let me conclude with one incident. There is so many incidents to make mention of. Let me just conclude with one or two more incidents. When Ali radiallahu anhu, one day, he asked his students and said, Man ashja'an nas? O people, who is the most brave of all people? Who is the most brave? Ali radiallahu anhu was known for his bravery. So the student said, Oh Ali, you are most brave. You are most brave. So he said, No, I'm not brave. Brave was Abu Bakr. He said, Brave was Abu Bakr. He said, When the people of Makkah one day, they started strangling the Nabi of Allah in the Baytullah, in the Hatim. He said, We all knew about it. But we are afraid that if we're going to go, the people are going to, they're going to come and hit us. Instead of the Nabi of Allah. No one could go there. It was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who went. He went to go and fight with the people. He separated them from the Nabi of Allah. And he told the people, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ Are you going to kill a person because he says, Allah is my Lord? And he protected the Nabi of Allah. I am not brave. Abu Bakr was brave. And he said, in the battle of Badr, we said, who is going to protect Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because everyone will be attacking the Nabi of Allah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, leave me to protect the Nabi of Allah. And wallahi lazim, what a great job. No one could come near to the Nabi of Allah. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was protecting the Nabi of Allah. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, you say, I am brave. No, I'm not brave. Brave was Abu Bakr. And he gave many examples. Therefore, Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika radiallahu anhu says, at the time of the janazah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I heard a person saying loudly, Rahimallahu ibn Khattab. Ibn Khattab, may Allah have mercy upon you. May Allah have mercy upon you. Whenever I heard the Nabi of Allah speaking, he always used to say, Dakhaltu ana Abu Bakr wa Abu Umar. Dhahabtu ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar. Kharajtu ana Abu Bakr wa Umar. He said, whenever I heard the Nabi of Allah speaking, every time he spoke was, me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we went here. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we did this. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we went to this particular place. And I was sure, O Umar, that Allah, because of that love, would make you two, your two companions, be buried with the Nabi of Allah. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I look behind to see who was saying these words, and who did I see? I saw it was Ali radiallahu ta'ala was saying these words. So let us be very careful whenever someone tells us that Ahlul Bayt and the Sahaba were two separate entities. They were one common entity. And they had love. So do we believe what people say about them? Or do we believe what the Quran says? Ruhama'u baynahum. They had love with one another. May Allah give you another tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.